What is superhuman?
What is normal? Well, today we'll find out with award-winning filmmaker and best-selling author Caroline Corey talking about her new documentary called Superhuman, The Invisible Made Visible. Through a series of groundbreaking scientific experiments and demonstrations, we find the relation between mind and matter and discover whether they live in a simulated matrix or they have control over their physical reality and create a fulfillment human experience. We're going to find out today. I'm Tony Sweet with Captain Ron. Please welcome back to Truth Be Told Studios, Caroline Corey.
There we go. Hello, hello.
Wow.
Hi, Caroline. How are you doing?
I love this. Thank you so much, you guys.
Well, you're welcome. Welcome back. It's been a
2 weeks in a row.
I know, right?
All right. Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
No worries. We love the film. I think this is the strongest film you've done so far. I thought it was really, really compelling. And I want to jump in with the first thing about how this film, a lot of times when people talk about consciousness, it's kind of a harder thing. They talk in these esoteric terms.
Right.
They're very general. It's 5D and auras. This is very much real world, very much more for regular folks to kind of approach this. Look, she goes right into the lab. Hard scientist. There's a lot of big PhD names in this.
Right.
You really did that, didn't you, this time?
Yes, absolutely. And that was exactly the point of the film, which was to not just talk about consciousness and the mind in a theoretical sense. You know, we keep hearing the mind to help, you know, affect your reality you create with your mind. Positive mind does this, negative mind does that. But it just feels so abstract. You know, a lot of people get it, but I didn't want to just keep rehashing this. So in this film, I said, I'm going to actually demonstrate on camera how it's possible for the mind to actually have an effect on physical matter, water or a piece of paper or anything. Mm-hmm. I wanted like measurable things, you know, for people to see what we've been talking about.
And I think that's what makes it so unique.
Totally.
Because I mean, we've interviewed several people with remote viewing and all this stuff, I mean, but nobody really has the scientific facts or even when Ron's the biggest skeptic.
It makes me aggravated. There's nothing tangible there.
Right. And, you know, when you ask somebody and then they're like, well, you know, that's my theory and that's my – but you actually took us in with you, not just saying I went in and talked to the scientist. You took us with you. So that
she showed us the lab right there. Look at the dials. Right.
So
exactly. That's exactly what I wanted to do. And that's why I'm very excited about this film, because I don't think it's been done before this way. I've never seen it in a documentary format, all packed together, different experiments that literally demonstrate the same thing. So, yeah, I mean, this is exactly the purpose of the film, too, for people to just go from the theoretical, the abstract, to believing, like, oh my God, you know, when you see that the consciousness just did a jump on the device, then the next time you think about your mind affecting your body or your health, you know, I'm hoping that they will remember these visuals, that this is real, this is measurable. Quantifiable for sure.
I wonder if we subconsciously do this all the time. Like you were able to change the pH of water. I wonder if our bodies are doing that without us even knowing it.
Well, it's trying. I mean, that's what the immune system tries to do. Because when you're very acidic or, you know, you're off balance, then the rest of your chemistry and the organs start to malfunction. And this is where the immune system kicks in. But I thought this experiment was very relatable. You know, in every store now, we see water with pH plus, you know, 9
right.
plus and 8 plus. And,
right.
and it's like, because we know that a alkaline body, viruses and bacteria cannot live in an alkaline body. So we know that we want to have an alkaline body. And so that's why I wanted to do this demonstration on camera and show that when you focus on it, on the water, you can literally shift it to go up or down. But to answer your question, subconsciously, it kind of tries to do that. But I think, unfortunately, because we are stressed, because we eat the wrong foods, you know, it's like the body can't keep up.
Right.
So hopefully people will remember that all you have to do is just sit for a moment and just focus specifically on changing the pH. I mean, it works.
It's also interesting the technology, how that comes into play here. Watching this whole film, I kept thinking the whole time that we are in the infancy of this. Just the very first thing, like that guy where he puts the helmet on and it can kind of not see his dreams but affect colors and movement based on what she's thinking of. I can imagine, you know, 40 years from now, you'll be able to watch a video of what that person's thinking about.
Absolutely. And actually, he's an awesome audio engineer, David. My goodness, Colin. And that's why I was very interested in him, because it was very cutting edge. And he keeps inventing these devices. And in fact, the software that we worked with, one of them anyway, he kind of put together himself. And yeah, the ability to not think of the mind or our dreams again as an abstract thing, you know, because we don't see it. It's hard for us to feel that it's real. But when you can actually see your dreams and see your thoughts, totally, you start to kind of like, oh my God, I am sending a real signal out there. This is not just an invisible thing that doesn't count. You know,
it's much more tangible that way. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you take the science room and or the scientist and bring them to the public for, you know, us everyday folk? Because when we were watching it, I'm not, like I said, I'm always just open book. I'm like, Ron's a skeptic. I'm more like, hey, that's great. But there was a couple things that I was interested in knowing when you started changing the pH balance. And I can't remember the gentleman. He's an older gentleman, but he was saying, "Wow, that dropped a lot, or that was a big change."
Right. You commented that this was like on film was even more than it normally is.
Right. So how does like us everyday folks saying how does Caroline Corey go in there and change it so much? But when I go in, it changes like, you know, very little at all. So how do you convey that to the normal audience, and then how do you explain how yours changed so much? Was it just the determination, the meditation? What did it take to get to that point?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I've been doing this for a very long time. You know, I've developed methodologies for energy healing, from meditation, and now very specific meditations to do this type of thing, which is kind of mind over matter. And so it's not just any type of training, it's not just any type of meditation. And so because I've been doing this for a very long time, and I think I shared with you before, since I was five, I was able to see the subtle energy and interact with beings and all kinds of stuff. So so I've kind of trained my mind to be able to kind of have this laser-like focus. And that's what it takes. You have to know how to quiet the mind, how to have that laser-like focus, and just do it over and over. You cannot expect to, you know, do this in one day.
Right.
And yeah, I'm glad you caught it was Glenn Ryan.
His reaction.
He was like, you know, scratching his head like, well, that's it. Remarkable. I don't remember the word he said. Significant effect.
Yeah, it was more than he expected it to be. He was hoping for half of what she did.
Right.
Yeah. One decimal is huge.
Yeah.
It's very big. And also with the DNA too, it just like jumps, you know, 400% sometimes. In the film, it was about 100%, but it was literally in seconds. Seconds.
That's amazing.
But to answer your question, you know, I did not want to be the only one in the film doing this, or go to people who do this extensive training or yoga or whatever, or Tai Chi masters. That's the reason why I did a few, but then I invited random people as you know, with other experiments, we had all kinds of folks from all over. And we had, you know, a few recognizable names on purpose so that, hey, you know, this person has never done telekinesis before. We're going to teach you in 2 hours. And they get it. And so that's another thing that I wanted to convey in the film, that yes, with training, you can do that. But anybody can do this.
That's a huge part of the film. I think that comes through. I think it was very clear that the point of the film to me was that, although it's called superhuman, it's not about like we found this unique group of people that are superhuman abilities. We all have these abilities, seems to be the thrust of the film.
Exactly. That's exactly what I wanted.
Good.
And so, because what's the point? Because then we go back to the same story, to the theory that some people, if you meditate, if you do this, then you can achieve that. That's not true. I mean, it's true that if you do meditate, you know, you can achieve that. But the idea that only those folks have those abilities is so not true. And like we were saying, we invited folks, you know, right there in 2 hours, moving objects, you know, doing remote viewing in 2 hours. They learned it just like that. So
it's incredible. Why don't we jump to the money shot now? And the most compelling, fascinating part of the film for me, I'm assuming for others is too, is this seeing without your eyes.
Yeah,
I immediately saw this and I immediately thought, well, God, why don't they do that with blind people? And the next thing she said was, well, now they do it with blind people. And I thought, well, wow, that's brilliant. Now, you know, if this is, it's so good. Tony and I both felt this was so good. Is it even real? And if it is.
Because it almost seems so sci-fi to where it's like, how? Even in Star Trek, they had to use a device, you know, to see. But
yeah, is this real or is this a trick? If it's real, why isn't it on CNN tonight?
Right.
Why aren't they on good, you know, America's Got Talent?
You would think, right? Yeah. This is just mind-blowing. I mean, it's like insane. It's crazy. Everybody, when you first look at it, you think that's a trick. There's no way. How is that possible? They're cheating. They're doing something. And it just even doesn't make sense. And guess what? We teach this. We just taught a class online to kids. And after two classes, they were able to see and read with the blindfolds. And even as we are teaching it and doing it, we still can't believe it because it's just so crazy.
It doesn't seem that way. Tony's over there signing up right now. He was thinking the first thing he wants to do is call Joe Gallagher and go to Vegas.
I was ready.
Why aren't they in Vegas right now? Why aren't those kids in Vegas for real?
But also I have to say,
tell them what they do, Caroline. Tell the audience what these kids are doing, the kind of things these kids are doing.
So basically these kids and adults too, but mostly kids, can put blindfolds on that are completely blackout. I mean, they black out the light completely. It's not just a little mask. And they can read, they can ride bike, they can play ping pong. You know, they could do whatever, you know, normal activities wearing these blindfolds.
Did you hear that? Ride a bike with a blindfold on. That's insanity.
All in the film. All in the film.
Yep.
And to be honest, like even if there's a little bit of light on the side, because people say, oh, maybe they're cheating. Yeah. You try to put blindfolds on, even with a little bit of light coming through. Let's see if you can, you know, play ping pong with accuracy like that and ride a bike. It's incredible. But I do have to say, because some people, like I cannot speak for some folks, you know, I don't know how some people do it. I can speak for the groups and the people that I have investigated, researched, and worked with. And so these are 100% legitimate, and they are doing it. So the techniques are slightly different, but they get to the same thing, that you can see, read, do everything with the blindfolds on. And so to bring more science and more validation, we, you know, the Russian group brought those scientists from Italy. And they said, well, how can we prove that this is real. This is not a trick. So they introduced a device that measures the light photons and like the amount of light inside the mask. And of course, the device would show go down to zero. There was no light whatsoever inside the mask, which proved that without light, we cannot see. So how are these kids seeing? It's incredible.
I don't know how you're supporting that it's real. If it, yes. If it is real, I don't know why wouldn't this be, why wouldn't somebody want to take this to somewhere where the rest of the world could see it? Why wouldn't it be on America's Got Talent, like we were saying, or something? Why wouldn't...
Well, I'm hoping that that's what this film's going to do. But like I said, because other people may have tricks or do it some other way, I don't know. But I can vouch, like I said, for the folks that I've worked with that I research, it's 1,000% true. And like I said, we just did it online. I mean, like you can see the parents are there. We're all there and they're reading.
It reminds me of Uri Geller when he would go on Carson and bend spoons and turn off watches and things like that. Right.
Exactly. And so I'm hoping now that we brought the science behind it and we did a case study, as you know, with the girl who had a macular problem. And also showing that blind people as well are able to use this method to basically what you're doing is you're reprogramming your brain because we don't really see with the actual eyes. We see with the brain. And so if you reprogram your brain to see whether you have blindfolds on or not, then you end up seeing. So if we can do that with the blind, you know, I mean, that's incredible. And they are training the blinds, the Russian groups and the folks in Utah as well. And it's working.
You know, it kind of actually reminds me of what we've already have with cars, self-driving cars. Even my car now, I mean, they don't have eyes, but they have sensors. So really what we're doing is activating our sensors. Is that correct? Instead of our eyes. Because I remember when I first got this new car about a year ago, when it slammed on the brakes for no reason. Then I
on its own, yeah.
Then I realized it thought I was getting too close to the car in front of me. I'm like, it doesn't have eyes, so it has a sensor. So in a way, we're already implementing this with technology, but you know, we're just now learning how to do it with our own self.
Consciousness, organically. And that's exactly right, Tony. That's exactly how it works. The idea is to reprogram yourself to think that your sensors aren't just your eyes or in your optical nerve or what have you, that you have sensors, your body is sensing information. And in fact, the Utah group, this is how they teach it. It's actually based on vibration. So it's so they train you to feel the vibration of objects so much, like so strongly that
sometimes they put their hand up to try to feel it more. They'll do this and try to.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's almost like you feel the vibration so strongly that you recognize the shape. So you do this for a while. Eventually you recognize the environment. And we showed people from the Utah group. I mean, they're going shopping. They're like, you know, looking at the shelves. They're like no big deal. So, and they're also teaching blind folks as well.
It's incredible.
The people in England and the other countries do it slightly differently. It's more, it's not the vibration. It's more, it's kind of like imagining that you are outside your body because you're more than your body. So if you are more than your body, then you are retrieving information beyond the body. So you kind of keep training yourself that you are tapping into the physical environment beyond your body.
It's very similar to remote viewing in that sense. And those and that study, too, also they were able to do it. So remember, 1,000 miles away on the computer.
Right.
And then hold up a card and it'd say what it was.
Yes.
Well, do you mind if we just watch the trailer, show our audience the trailer?
Please, please, go ahead.
Let's do that. So we'll be right back with Caroline Corey. Don't go anywhere, truth be told.
Because the energy is all around us, you can communicate with all types of different things.
Well, what we do here is collect intelligence against foreign threats using a parapsychology discipline called Remote Viewing, we essentially wanted to invite you to become a psychic spy.
We know our own CIA had been experimenting in psychic tests and abilities.
The Israelis had an interest in it and may still. We know for a fact that the Russians were involved in this. We know for a fact that the Chinese were and are probably still involved.
Something's happening that's bigger than us.
Oh my gosh, this is blowing my mind. Like, this is insane.
We are pieces of consciousness playing avatars in a virtual reality game called This Physical World.
This is Captain Corey of the USS Red Recorder leaving a message that may be detected in other universes.
The rain was tapping and the windows and the wind was banging.
So we sort of come to this world, and I guess in our materialistic sense, we want to forget about vibrations. We just want to think of matter and stuff.
That's a whole unit. That's a large effect. The fact that you can change the acid-alkaline balance in water implies that you could change it in the body.
This is what this is about. Mind over matter.
I love it.
Wow.
Well, I mean, first of all, your the shooting of the film is great. Like, you did, the quality is awesome.
Production value of this film is excellent.
Great. That trailer led me to the next question is, when you had the young lady view wherever you were going,
yes,
and telling the gentleman, you know, I see, you know, a Starbucks.
For the remote viewing.
For the remote viewing. And then you actually end up blocking her.
Yes.
How does one block, if somebody's in the middle of a remote viewing,
yes,
how do you actually block a person from viewing where you are and what you're doing?
Well, again, you're tapping into quantum energy. I mean, it's energy. You're just tapping into someone else's energy, if you will. So in a way, all you have to do is visualize or imagine that you have a shield around you. So I created a shield as if I was sitting in a bubble that made me invisible. So I kept projecting that thought and that idea that whenever she was tapping into me, I would be invisible. And it worked.
It's like this virtual battle going on.
Right.
You can imagine 100 years from now, it'll be like superheroes doing that all the
right.
time.
Well, yeah. Was she intuitive herself?
Yeah, so Rachel is an actress, for those who don't know.
Okay.
And she's open. She loves motivational thing and positive thinking. She's into that sort of stuff, but had never done remote viewing, telekinesis, any of that stuff. And so we invited her and we said, would you like to try? We'll teach you in 2 hours and we'll just see what happens. And she said, sure. So we taught her literally in 2 hours. And she actually, after the fact, she told us like she thought she had no idea what she was doing. You know,
right.
And so myself and a couple of guys from the crew went to a remote location, and also we flew her. We were in Utah, and we flew her from Los Angeles. She had never been to that area before. She arrived the night before, and you know what I mean. So it's like she didn't even have time to.
Right.
If we were in Los Angeles, okay. Well, she has some idea what the environment
right.
looks like.
Right.
It's very, very, very different in Utah. It's very dry. And anyway, she arrives very late the night before and we're filming the next day. So she really didn't have time to get any idea. And she nails it. I mean, it was crazy. And the Starbucks thing, that's what proved that, because that was not part of the program.
Right, because he told you not to go.
It's pretty compelling.
Yeah. So that was... you know, proof in itself.
I feel like we just watched this trailer and we acted like nothing was special about this. But in that trailer, you see a little boy sitting on the couch wearing a mask, reading a book. I mean, I think if anybody sees that or notices that, this is if it makes one wonder, A, is it real? And if it is real, how is it done? I mean, that's really something unique. Who's ever seen a kid read a book blindfolded? Nobody.
Exactly. And so, like you just said, the first reaction is this real? Is this a joke? You know?
Right.
But of course, we're making a serious documentary. We're not going to spend all this money and this time and energy to put fake stuff in there. Jeez, you know? Yeah. But anyway, for those who are skeptics, it's okay. But again, when you start thinking about it, it's just so crazy. And these kids, this kid, I loved him. His name is Justin. And there's a lot that, of course, we couldn't put in the film because, you know, then the editing gets, you know, takes forever. But so anyway, I just wanted to say that in between takes and other things that we did with these kids is just talk to them. And he would just tell us story. He would tell me stories that he remembered from what planet he came from. And he, you know, the conversation he has with Jesus and wow. That he comes to him and tell, I mean, it's, and you're talking to a 7-year-old and he's just mentioning these things like a matter of fact, you know, nothing like, oh my God, this is so special or so unusual. It's just extraordinary. And then sometimes people think, oh, well, they already memorized the book. Okay, fine. So we are there. We give I write on a piece of paper so they don't know what I'm writing. You know what I mean? And we show them that piece of paper and they know what it is. Mm. So they couldn't have memorized that. You know, it's just mind-boggling.
It is mind-boggling, but there's so many things out there. Like the amazing Randy has the $1 million challenge that you can prove. I feel like you have something in here that could get that $1 million. There are things out there that challenge
this. I don't know about that. Send me the info.
There is that was a thing for years. The amazing Randy had that. If you can show absolute proof of a psychological ability like that, you could win $1 million.
Let's sign up.
There are other groups that challenge these things. I got to think there's a skeptical group that you could go to and prove this if it's true. I mean, then this would this would change the world. I think this is incredible.
I have to say my dad used to say he was watching TV with his eyes closed. So, I mean.
Well. Not quite the same thing.
My mistake.
But honestly, like I don't really think about these things that much because some people keep asking me, what about the skeptics? Or when I made this film, I wasn't really thinking about the skeptics, to be honest. I was just doing something that I believe in, that thousands, millions of people around the world believe there's truth to it. And I just wanted to bring that additional validation and science behind it and just whoever wants to open up and believe that this could be possible, so much the better.
Yeah, but I don't think you have to be a skeptic or anything. I think just anyone would be surprised, even in this community, would be surprised to hear a 6-year-old boy could read a book with a blindfold on.
Yes.
Or ride a bike. I mean, that's more than a trick. I mean, that is like...
Is it easier to work with children in that aspect or is both... Because I know...
Well, they have the ability to learn it like from 5 to 9
or something.
It's
like paranormal. Because mostly when you're a kid, it's easier to connect to the paranormal world. And then as you become adults, you become more closed-minded. So that's why I thought, is it easier for kids to do this than putting Ron and I in a room and say, putting blindfolds on and say, read this book, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's why we do classes separately, because kids from the age of 4 to about 7, I want to say, you just tell them to do it and they just do it. You know, they put your blindfolds on, they do. What am I holding in my hand? They just do it. They just like, you know, you what color do I have in my hand? They just tell you, whereas an adult is going to think, well, wait, how am I supposed to see? I have blindfolds on. And what if she's tricking me? And should I guess? And there's all this mind chatter and the belief systems and the blocks that come up, you know, for you as an adult. And that's the reason why kids, you know, in 2 sessions, I'm telling you, it's on my website. I mean, we're going to put those videos. It's in our forum.
Awesome.
After 2 classes, they're reading, they're doing the Lego stuff and cross puzzles. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not cross puzzles, you know, the puzzles.
It's very compelling, Caroline. It's like a lot of these times, like the psychic stuff or the prediction stuff, it's like there's always like an asterisk and like, well, Hissler was supposed to mean Hitler and this was supposed to be plain. You know, there's always a little gray interpretation. But if you've got a kid sitting there and he's got a blindfold on and he's not facing you and you hold up a card and he says Jack of Clubs, that's a 1 in 52 shot.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty compelling to me. I got to be honest. I mean, I was really intrigued by this. I mean, this kid seeing – and then there's these different organizations. There's a big one in Russia, Utah, Germany has one. It's almost like the men that stare at goats thing from the CIA when they would do that kind of stuff. It's very similar to that, right? It's the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, these are small groups. And also, it's hard to teach large groups at the same time, especially kids. So it's usually one-on-one or two kids, three kids tops. So that's the reason why it's hard to, it's not like a school where you have 40 kids and you can just teach them. I mean, you could, but it's not the same. And kids get tired, so you have to kind of grab their attention. And so it's more of a intensive type training. So that's why these schools are still pretty small. But that's what I'm hoping to do with this film, is to expand that. And I have all, you know, I'm not the only one, but all of these teachers are going to be teaching with us and teaching on their own. So people can take advantage of this. And so what happens also, it's not just about seeing and reading with a book. It's the child starts to trust. They gain confidence. They become more sensitive. They understand what guidance is. They become more spiritual. It's a whole gamut of you know, positive things that come out of this.
And they're not as amazed by it as I was. The kids are kind of like, well, yeah, I could put the blindfold on and do this. Yeah, all right.
Well,
exactly.
It reminds me, you know, I mean, this is kind of off topic, but I've noticed that, like, you go to the beach or go to a pool and the kids will just jump right in and run right into cold water. And adults are like,
ew, you know, jellyfish.
Like, you know, we're like slowly inching in. The kids, they don't even
know. Well, we know
like,
what to be afraid of.
Right. So it's like this unexpected, you know, gift that they have of not really going into the unknown and not thinking about it. So
exactly. You know, it's such an important quality, because especially for things like that, you know, that's the reason why it takes twice or maybe three times, sometimes four times longer for an adult.
Right. Did you ever work with people like autism or even people with learning disabilities? Because sometimes I find I have a niece that's autistic, and certain people I know that have learning disabilities, their ability to what normal folks may have a problem functioning with, but these paranormal and even stuff like this, their concentration is much more heightened. Do you find that at all, or?
Yes, absolutely. And that's what I was saying. The advantages of this methodology, it's not just for you to just show off to your friends that you can read a book with your eyes closed.
Right.
It is specifically, I mean, it's more to train your brain to basically behave in an organized way, because you're telling it, I want to read right now, whether there is light or not light or this or that. And it does. And so it's almost like you are retraining your brain to do certain things. So for an autistic child or any sort of similar pattern that they may have in their brain, you can correct that, because you're using this tool to kind of organize and focus the brain in a certain way. So it's been very, very helpful. I personally have not trained autistic children, but I think the Russian group has. And other groups as well have done that, for sure. I train autistic kids without the blindfold to do other things. So, because we're talking about blindfolds, so
when you see these little kids doing these little tricks with cards or pick a color, you know, I think if our military's probably been doing this for longer and they've probably got a lot stronger powers than guessing colors, it's probably. Maybe this is a lot more advanced somewhere, in some black program somewhere.
I mean, we all know that they've been doing remote viewing. I mean, we know about those programs. So did they really investigate the blindfold? I don't know, honestly. But I think that like you just said, Ron, this is more powerful because you're not just, you know, projecting to a certain location remotely, but you're literally functioning, you know, completely blindfolded. So I don't know if you hear of something like that, let me know in the government, but we're going ahead. I mean, we need to expose this. I want to say, I don't know why the word expose comes to mind.
Because Tony's often exposing himself and that throws people off.
That's I'm what, only wearing a shirt, by the way.
So right. That's, he loves the COVID thing. He can walk around with just a shirt on.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yes, I feel like this does need to get out there. I really want to get this to somebody that can say to me, well, here's how that's being done, or can say, well, we're on to something new. Let's change the world, you know?
Yeah. And again, I don't know about how some people do it. You know, sometimes people say, oh, well, if a magician can do right. what you just did, it means that it's not true. I don't agree. It just means that the magician can copy, can figure out a way to make it work. But it doesn't mean he's actually moving the object. It doesn't deny the fact that I did it without any tools.
Right. Right. No, he could do it another way and he could memorize.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And so I think because also it has those very important applications, like helping people with eye problem, you know, serious diseases, the blind, autistic. In fact, the Romanian group actually worked with a deaf person. And they started to hear again using this. So it's it's crazy. You would think
it is. Caroline, to your credit, we're glossing over something here that you have in the film is a huge number of these big PhD guys, including Rudy Shield, who we're big fans of, and Dean Radin. There's a variety of PhD level guys in here that are sticking to the testimonial stuff of this. They're behind it. So that's an important aspect of this. It's not like just these, you know, gurus. It's these PhD guys in a lab that are supporting this, which is pretty compelling to me again.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another thing that I definitely wanted to have in the film, that, hey, I'm just not the only one here. There's real, I mean, prominent, noted scientists who are validating this. And in fact, Tom Campbell, Dean Radin, I just spoke with Dean. So they watched the film themselves, because when we film them, they're only focused on their segment, but then they watched the whole film, and I'm getting like great comments from them as well. So I'm very, very happy that we have that level of scientists behind us for sure.
Now, when we were talking about the blocking someone from seeing the, you know, where location, but are you influencing that person, or is it just, I'm trying to get the back and forth.
Well, what if you didn't know they were doing it to you?
Right. So that's what I'm saying. How can you actually influence someone's decision making? Because if it's that much powerful energy to be able to see, you know, locations and all that, can you actually influence somebody's decisions or no? Or is that just free will?
You can absolutely influence someone's decision. However, would you do that is a different question. You know, that's like,
that's where the government comes in, where it'd be scary.
Voodoo is real, man. Yeah. See?
You know, but you definitely can do that. And that's what I'm saying. Those experiments proved that she was, because she picked up the things that weren't part of the program, like the Starbucks, as you know. And then also she got roadblocked, like when I blocked her. So this, again, tells us that this is very much possible. And so if you can do that, then you can also influence someone to think something or to look a different direction. Absolutely. And so we just have to know how to do it.
Okay.
It's interesting that this stuff too, it's more than just being there. In your film, you even show how it incorporates quantum entanglement by working over vast differences.
Yes.
I mean, isn't that also speak to that is what it is? It's the consciousness, because instantaneous.
Yeah. And this demonstration I did myself, that was the remote telekinesis. Is that the one you're talking about?
Well, I mean, there were several times you brought up the double slip experiment.
Yeah. Basically, so we're saying that, you know, as you know, this has to do with the observer. When the observer is there, you are changing, you're influencing the behavior of the photon, of the light particle. So how is that possible? So it kind of all connects together also with the concept of entanglement, because if two particles at a distance are exchanging properties, which is entanglement, why is it crazy to think that our minds we have an electromagnetic field. We know that scientifically. And the Earth has an electromagnetic field. We know that scientifically. It's not so crazy to think that we are entangled, our magnetic field is entangled with the Earth magnetic field, and information is being transferred. I mean, to me, it's just kind of logical, if you will. And so that's why these concepts, I thought, were very relevant to introduce in the film and talk about it.
They absolutely are. And like you also point out, regardless of how you feel about afterlife or how you feel spiritually or whatever, you've got to recognize the power of consciousness here that's been demonstrated. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. And the one that we did also remotely, the one that we moved, we did the telekinesis under vacuum, and remotely. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
So that's another thing. So how is it possible? It's one thing to connect your mind with, you know, somebody else's mind, but now your mind with a machine, which I've done with other scientists. They're in the Bay Area. I'm in LA, and I'm projecting my consciousness into their lab. And their devices are like going nuts. You know, the electronic device is going crazy. The electrical device is doing this, you know. So once we did that, I was like, oh, well, if I'm actually shifting an actual material object, so could I move a piece of paper? And this is how it all started. And sure enough, it worked. And it does work. And think about the implication of that.
Right. So that means in 100 years, we'll be moving chairs.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about moving chairs, but yeah.
Well, theoretically, and it's like it always starts that way in a lab that you do this tiny little thing, and next thing you know, they're taking it to the moon. So now it just feels like that would get stronger and bigger and like move chairs or do something.
Absolutely, absolutely. Or move rocks or the pyramids. Or
yeah.
Well, we have a question from the chat room. Actually, I thought this might be interesting. Cryptid said, does blood type or something to do with the DNA help with doing this? Is there certain, you know, like O blood or AB negative? Is there certain types that actually have more of the ability due to blood type?
No. What the difference has to do with the type of consciousness that you have, that you are. So different type of different. We all look human, but we're not made the same. Everybody is half human, half something else. You know, from another star system or another type of DNA. Of course, they don't tell us that, but that is what makes your consciousness be able to influence other things and interact with the physical world. So the more mass you have, consciousness-wise, the more you can manipulate the time-space continuum, therefore affect physical objects and physical matter. So another, sometimes, you know how we talk about we have to get to a critical mass as a collective to affect the world or whatever. I don't agree because one person, for all we know, can have a massive consciousness so that it could basically neutralize 7 billion people.
Right.
Does that make sense? In fact, that's what the consciousness of, without getting into religion, but, you know, the consciousness of a Christ or a Buddha or whatever. They were one body, one person, but their consciousness was so amplified and so powerful that they basically could neutralize, thousands and millions of other people.
Pretty incredible.
Pretty incredible.
Well, we both really like this film. Why don't you tell folks where they can see it? It's out now, right?
Yeah, it's out everywhere. iTunes, Amazon, You know, the best thing to do is just go to superhumanfilm.com, and all the platforms are listed there. And, you know, we'll keep adding more platforms as they come up. But that's the easiest way, superhumanfilm.com. And it's on rental right now. So it's like, you know, $4.99 or something. I think everybody needs to see this film. I mean,
I agree.
It's just so empowering, right?
Well, it's also very, it just raises your curiosity. It's like, right. I wonder what we can do.
Right.
If we can do that, what else can we do? You know, right. it opens up so many questions.
Exactly.
It's really well done.
Well, thank you so much. We always enjoy having you on, and we can't wait till this is all over so we can get back to a conference where you're at and see you soon, hopefully.
Oh, my gosh. You guys were awesome. This was so fun. So fun to be with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
And thank you guys for tuning in the chat room and participating and just listening in. All you people on iTunes and iHeart and Apple and Spotify, thank you guys for subscribing. Please leave a comment. And please visit superhumanfilm.com. And Caroline Corey, and, you know, we're here to help these interesting topics that we bring them to the table. So I'm Tony Sweet with Captain Ron for Truth Be Told, and Caroline Corey, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.